Well, it's a great pleasure, as I said, to have Bruce and Julie Williams from C3. You actually call yourselves C3 Adelaide Hills, don't you? Yeah, fantastic. Great region. Who's ever been to Harndorf? Beautiful area. If you haven't been to Harndorf, you need to go. It's like holiday every day of the week. I mean, it's quite amazing. Well, they actually, I have been there, and I don't know if they still do this, they bacon and eggs and a beer for breakfast. Is that still the deal? Anyway, I don't know where that got to. The Holy Spirit just left the building. But Bruce and Julie are fantastic people. They oversee a number of churches for C3, both in their own state and also in the Northern Territory. You know, with a C3 church in Darwin. Doing really well, we were told last night. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? Nearly 300 members. Doubled in the last 18 months. You must be just phenomenal overseers. But also got to know Bruce and Julie quite well because they're in the same bracket as us church-wise. You've got a lot of good, they're just great people. So why don't we just stand to our feet and welcome these guys this morning. Thank you. Yeah, come. And feel free to talk about whatever. You know, I'm gonna leave, but it is a real privilege having you. And thank you for coming when the Fremantle Dockers won. And yes. And you had to put up with
all the partying
at the hotel last night, but great survived. To have you with us.
Thank you very much for the very warm welcome, Nigel and Andrea and Church. How are you guys? Don't remain standing, have a seat. This is my lovely wife, Julie, and we, as Nigel has said, are the senior ministers of C3 Church Adelaide Hills. It's a long way away from here, but what I love about C3 Church, anywhere in the world, you walk into a C3 Church and it feels like home. And we've travelled the world and gone to many of our churches. That's a long story how we've done that, but we've had the blessing to do that. And everywhere we go, we have met phenomenal pastors, and your pastors are amongst the cream of the crop. Mind you, I'd say that in any C3 church because our pastors are phenomenal people and you've got the most amazing couple leading your church. I want you to just give them an encouraging word, sort of yahoo this morning. Okay. Julie, won't you tell us a little bit about us?
Okay. We've been married for 34 years. We have 3 grown-up children who are all married, and we have 2 grandchildren, a third one on the way in November. I know we don't look like it, but we do. I was a child bride. No, almost. But the other thing about that, why I say all that, is because our 3 kids are all in the house of God, serving in the house of God. 2 of them are with us and the other one is in Canberra, and their partners and their kids and everything. And I think that growing through what we've done, we've been pastoring a church for 18 years, then the kids still in the house of God and serving and loving it sort of says something about what we do. I think it's important to know we had some years where that didn't really, you know, wasn't going so well, but just keeping on going and keeping on believing in what you're doing is the word to parents. You know, keep coming, keep encouraging your kids to come, do something special afterwards. We used to have special lunches afterwards. If they didn't come to church, they didn't get to go to the special lunch or we had special holidays. You know, it was, you know, there's a bit of bribery, you're allowed to do that, but whatever, make it happen so that your family is doing things together. And our family, and on holidays we've always worshiped together. We've been to some amazing churches because of that. We've just said, let's go somewhere and let's find out and see what's happening. Our kids have been able to see other churches and go, wow, I love our church. And they've seen other churches they really love too. It's been really, really special, so I encourage you in that. As I said, we've been pastoring our church for 18 years. We've been in our building in Harndorf for 9 years. So we had set up and pack up for 8 years to start with. And we've got a great team of people that help us and support us to be able to go out to other churches to visit and to help them along the way too. And I guess that's our heart. We just love to see people growing. And growing in God and growing in what God's called them to do and the purpose that they have. So I want to encourage you today to know what God's purpose is in your life and to go for it with all your might, all your strength and all God's strength, because he's the one that wants you to do that and follow that through. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Otherwise, he won't get the mic back.
Yes, I will. Thanks, honey. Wow, it is so good to be here. Such a privilege to be standing in front of you and bringing you the word this morning. So why don't we just pray as we come around God's word today. Father, we thank you for your word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, as we receive your word, as we hear it, as we let it mull over in our minds, as it maybe hits some resistance on the way into us because of where we're at in life, it's still an incredible miracle, Lord, that your word starts to shift things and change things and move things. And so, Lord, I pray today that for each one of us, something would shift. Something that maybe is locked up would become unlocked. Something we can't see, we'd begin to see. Something that we've missed, we'll actually recognize. Something that we've overlooked, we'll be prompted to go back and sort out. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your amazing grace that prompts and guides and directs our course through life. Pray for anyone this morning, Lord, who's really in the middle of a real jam, stuck in a very difficult place. Today, Lord, that this service, this word, the time we've spent worshiping together would unlock that jam in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I really do believe God is awesome. And I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. If you're here this morning and you're looking for answers to life and you don't know Jesus Christ yet, I got good news for you. You can find him. Bible says, seek and you will find. If you're on a bit of a quest at the moment to try and work out what life's about, then I've got good news for you. You can find out what your life's about, because the Bible, the Word of God, really lays out why we're here. We're here for really one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to find God and worship him. And as we do that, we'll find that is in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Jesus, prior to that, lists off all the things that we as human beings could care about. What we wear, where we live, how much money we might have, what we're going to do next week. All the sorts of things that can crowd our vision, crowd our ability to see, get taken care of when we make it our business to seek first his kingdom. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and how that happens in our life this morning. And I've got a message that's kind of a not easy to say. It's got a particular title, but it probably would be this if I could summarize it. Most things that God does start small. Most things, in fact, my observation is nearly everything that God does starts small. Everything that he does doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like the thing that finishes when it starts out. And so just as an example, when I was trying to work this out, I think it's 38 years ago, we were telling the guys last night over dinner this little story, but I want to give you the brief version. I was brought up in a Methodist church in the Adelaide Hills, and a little outfit with probably 60 people in it, and I was a teenage boy, and there were no girls in our church other than my sisters. And life was pretty like glum, 17, I'm thinking, what's going to happen here? And one day a family had moved into the district, walked into church on a Sunday morning with three girls and a guy, teenagers. And I looked at these three girls and thought, wow, they're okay. Whoa, what's going on here? And I found out they'd actually moved into the area and they were coming to this our church. And as it turns out, the youngest daughter is now my wife. So things changed that day. But you know, the moment I met Julie, she wasn't my wife. She was just another person that I met. And over the course of time, we were involved in the same youth group, and we went and participated in a mock wedding, which was like a play thing. I don't know what we were doing it for, raising money or doing something. And that was the first day in my life where I afterwards reached out and grabbed Julie's hand, and we went for a walk with all the rest of the youth group, and we were walking down this road. We weren't married. We're first touch. See, it didn't start out as a married couple. We started out with a glance, started out with holding a hand, started out with that sweaty palm. Oh, she's holding my hand. It's like, oh, she's pretty nice. She feels nice and soft. It's like, oh. She didn't start out with me making love to her. She didn't start out with me embracing her and crushing her with a bear hug because I was so infatuated with her. We started out with just a little holding of hands. Saturday night, next morning at church, cold shoulder. She thought, what have I done? What did I hold his hand for? And it took me about another 3 years to win her over. And eventually she relented to all her resistance and all the things that she didn't like. See, Matthew 13 says this. He told them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. See, God starts off things small. Scientists are still trying to explain to us what they is called the Big Bang Theory. Not the TV program, but the actual scientific thing that's the Big Bang Theory on TV. Who watches that program and who laughs? Oh, you're a friend of mine. It's weird. Anyway, the Big Bang Theory is man trying to get his or her head around how everything actually, how it actually happened. But let's just say there's a reasonable consensus, no matter whether we believe it was just this fluke of nature, whatever that is, or it's actually the sovereign hand of an incredibly sovereign God that spoke, let there be, back in Genesis. But the universe started out as nothing, not just small, but nothing. It started out without anything, and God said, let there be. And all of a sudden, this unbelievable, never-ending, until he says so, reaction in the cosmos started. And scientists to this day, I think physicists would agree, that the universe is this unbelievable, expanding phenomena. This matter just going out into the infinite depths of infinity in every direction possible. It started out small, and so at a universal level, it's big. Say big. You know that every one of us sitting in this room started out small. Somewhere inside a mother's womb, a little egg, bear with me, I'm not overly au fait with the, an egg and a sperm get together. It's microscopic, it's small, but inside of that is everything needed to make you or me. Like everything. The color of your eyes, the color of your hair, how fast your toenails are going to grow. Everything about you was in that little speck, say small. But God's designed it to grow to become you or me or the person sitting next to you. I go, he didn't. So you'd think every mother here would think this. Thank God I don't actually end up with him inside of me or her inside of me as a fully grown person. We start off with this little speck and it grows. What God's designed is that seeds get sown, as we just heard with the word that Nigel brought around the offering. We sow seeds. There's things that God wants us to understand, and this is one of them. Everything he does in our life seems to me to start small with the potential to grow big. So our church started in 1995 with 23 people, small, not as small as... Some churches just start out with a pastor and a dream. One person, maybe them, husband and wife, or either way around, and kids. There were days in the early days of our church where we got to church, and I looked around, and it was just Julie and me and our three kids and a couple of other people. I'm thinking, well, I could either got two things I can do here. I can get depressed and go, maybe I'm not called to be a pastor and get all funny about it, or I can latch on to a revelation about this stuff and go, hang on a minute, but God starts things small. Small's okay. Small's good because it can grow. It will grow. And so we sometimes find ourselves wanting to start with the finished product. You know, it's really when it comes to making disciples and winning people to Christ, it's really a really good thing to think about. Well, I just want to see my friend get saved and become a churchgoer. But it doesn't. That's kind of a long way down the track of the process. It starts way back the first time you stop to have a coffee with someone at work and just begin to listen to their story about their family or their marriage or their kids not doing well at school or they missed the bus that morning and they're really crapped off and swearing and whatever. And you just happen to be the person who listens. That's the moment when God sows a little seed of compassion or love or understanding into them. And you go, well, I didn't think that was going to do too much. I don't think there's too many women that I've spoken to who could tell you that they knew the moment they got impregnated, they felt something. It's like it's such a small little physical connection between a sperm and an egg. So imperceptible, but it unleashes this massive reaction of potential inside the then pregnant mother. Your conversations with your friends, with your family, can appear to be going nowhere. You're witnessing, whatever that looks like. It might just be that you don't have the courage to cross the chicken line and ask to pray for them. And you think, well, I'm hopeless at this. But maybe you're the sort of person who does just have an incredible gift from God to go, you know what? I've seen that sort of problem work out before. You know what? Last time I felt like that, I found that day and that season finished. We've got incredible insight from the Holy Spirit about how things work when we belong to Jesus Christ. And you and I can sow seed into people's lives, but don't give up sowing seed just because it doesn't look like it's doing anything. I want to encourage you this morning, you're achieving great things for God, providing you understand this principle that with God, things start small. You might find that in church, you might be asked to get onto a roster or a volunteer team, and there's two or three of you, and think, oh man, we need more volunteers. We need more help in this department. And you can get all kind of funny about it and maybe discouraged and go, why do people say no? Why do people so difficult to get motivated to be on our team? I say to you, don't give up. Just get happy. Make them want to join your team because you're the happiest person in church. You're the person who's running around here happy as anything, even though your team's not working, or you feel like quitting, or it's time to give up. And you hear what I'm saying? Is it making sense? I hope so. And so sometimes, I found in my life, I'm a phlegmatic kind of personality, very laid back, pretty chilled kind of guy. Some people call us lazy. I'm not lazy, just chilled. And alongside that, there's a little character trait which is really very helpful in life called procrastination. It's called things don't happen because, well, I can do it tomorrow. So Julie is not phlegmatic. That's why I married her. She's a strong choleric personality, and she likes things done. And she likes things done the way she likes them to be done when she wants them done. And that's cool. And that's why I married her, because I'm a phlegmatic. I can take that kind of seed sowing and not get all upset, or occasionally rear up, don't I? So even simple things like we're empty nesters these days, so at home we eat dinner and the kitchen sink's got a few dishes on it. My mode of operation is they can wait till tomorrow. Julie's mode of operation is they get done before we go to bed tonight. So we have the Mexican standoff in the kitchen. No, not really. I've learned that the best way to keep peace at home is to be conciliatory and do the dishes. What am I telling you that for? Because we just got to learn, I think, to start small. So for me, doing the dishes it's kind of like, whatever. But I've learned that for Julie, that's really important. And so I'm an idiot if I keep pushing against that and resisting it and going, well, I don't, what's the big deal for that? It's like, if I never understand it, but I understand it's important to her, a very little thing that I can do can cause her to feel like I value her. So we're pushing into stuff. I don't know if you read Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. I'd highly recommend it. It's a fabulous insight into how we feel loved, about how we can actually love one another. And it's kind of towards the bottom of this message if I get to it, but we'll get there eventually. But what I want to say is this little statement that came to me preparing this message was, you don't have to start with much or be much, but you've got to start. That's not the statement. This is the statement. If you're taking notes today, you write this down, because this is a freebie from Pastor Bruce. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. Let me say, you don't have to be great to start. You don't have to have all the bits and pieces together to make a start. But you've got to actually make a start if you're going to become something. So it has to be great to start, but you've got to start to be great. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Plato said this, the beginning is the most important part of the work. Peter Drucker, who's a well-known leadership guru in the United States over many years, in every success story, says this, every success story, you will find someone who's made a courageous decision, that is to start. Theodore Roosevelt said this, old age is like everything else. To make a success of it, you've got to start young. I like that. Thomas Edison said this, of this sort of line of thinking, I start where the last man left off. So you don't have to be great to start, but you've got to start to do something great. Anne Frank is alleged to have said this, how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. So like this morning, in this meeting, right now, you might be at a place in your life where you've thought, I've tried everything. Nothing seems to be changing. Can I encourage you? Why don't you just try and have another start? Maybe you've been in the house of God for years and your life with Christ's just run into this territory of, it's feeling like the outback of Australia. It's dry and it's kind of lifeless. And you're wondering, am I ever going to get back to that feeling of euphoria, that incredible sense? You know, being married for 35 years, Julie and I have worked out that feeling loved and feeling in love is not something you wake up with every morning. There's moments when we looked at each other in bed and gone, gee, I wish there was somebody else here alongside me beside you. Well, I've thought that of her. She's never said that to me, but... Don't go there. It's okay. It's not happened. I'm just telling you that if I let my feelings run the show, we wouldn't be together today. If she let her feelings run the show, we wouldn't be together. If you let your feelings run your life, you won't stay in this church forever, because something will happen that you don't. It doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right, Pastor. I just got to. The worship doesn't feel right. The prayer's not feeling right. It's like, well, your feelings can lie to you. My feelings do. My feelings have told me that Julie's kind of whatever, and my mind's saying she's the most amazing woman that God could possibly have given you, and she is. I look at her sometimes and think, man, how blessed am I to have found a partner in life like that? How blessed am I to have found a woman who's brought up three great kids and done things as a parent way more diligently than I ever would have? And between us, we've brought up three kids that are, as she said, serving in the house of God in their own ways today. It's so easy to complain. It's so easy to wonder if there's a greener pastures over the fence when in fact there isn't. It's like, start out and stick with it. So in this church, don't let your feelings dictate too much to you. Let the vision and the voice of God direct your path. This is an amazing church. Every church that's kind of put its foot down on some ground and taken some turf and established an incredible facility like this, gathering a group of people like yourselves here every Sunday, other meetings, I mean, that's a cranking church. Don't let the devil get in your ear and start, you know, there's, you know, we could do better. We could find someone who can preach better than Nigel. We can find someone who's, you know, the worship better at such and such a church. It's like, and some of those observations at a factual level might be kind of accurate. But it's not about that. It's about knowing that you're called to grow here, isn't it? So if we want to transform lives, if we want to see this happen, love God. Love each other, love the community. Got good news for you. You can make it happen. How do we make it happen? Stick around. When the prayer meeting's on, what do you say? I'm too busy. No, when the prayer meeting's on, I'm coming. I saw that Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Who's been to prayer meeting at 7 o'clock? Is this every month? How often do you have it? Every week. Wow, you guys are incredible. Give me a wave if you were at prayer meeting last week. Okay, give me a wave if you're going to be at prayer meeting this week. Hey, it's like, let me say, okay, not a lot of hands. That's quite okay. Don't want to put any pressure on anybody. But what if you could, in our mind, if we could, I've never been to the prayer meeting. I wonder what happens there. I don't pray. I don't like that big corporate prayer meeting. It's not my thing. But what if you decided to start? What if you decided to have a go? You think, well, didn't happen, didn't feel anything. But then you decided to come the following week. And then the following week, maybe you have a conversation with God and say, you know what, I'm going to commit to going to the prayer meeting for 3 months. And if nothing shifts after 3 months, I might not go anymore. I tell you, after 3 months, I reckon something will get into your spirit. Something will shift, because what God does is you can't recognize it, but he's like this little embryo growing inside a mother's womb. It's like everything that God does and has done in my life started out small, but it got better. Our hand-holding went to arm around shoulder, went to having an occasional kiss, then a whole lot of kisses. This is when we're going out. And then we got married and we're allowed to do whatever we wanted to do. Thank you, Lord. And it's like we could have given up. We had arguments and fights along the way before we got married and after we got married. You can just decide that it's all too hard. And sometimes some of us maybe here, you've been down that road and it was, and everything's fallen apart. But I got to tell you, even if that's been your journey thus far, you can start again. You can start today. You can put a seed into your life today in the Word of God. God seems to make the starting point look inadequate so that we will have to trust him. Let me say it again. God seems to make the starting point look inadequate so that we will trust him. So being in a connect group, going onto the roster at church on a Sunday morning to help with welcoming or making coffee or however you organize that here at C3 Fremantle. It might not seem like a lot, but I've got to tell you it is. Every little bit of volunteering and serving in the house of God makes a difference. If you've served in this house in any way in the last 6 months, I want to say congratulations on having a crack. If you're on a team this morning and you're on deck and you've kind of listened to me talk, but you've got this at the back of your mind, you know you've got to go and do something at the end of the service, I'd say good on you. Keep juggling that thing. Don't give up because, we've had people quit on rosters in our church because they, I want to come and hear the sermon every week, or they don't get to do this. Like, try and work that out, but don't quit. Keep going. Hope this is helping somebody. It's meant to be. Seems to me, as I said, starting point's inadequate. He has his eye on how we finish and what we can become, providing we start. He sees the finish. He knows what you're going to look like. He knows what I look like today. He knew that before I was conceived. He knew I'd be standing in this church preaching to you guys today. I didn't know that 12 months ago. God knew it 56 years ago. 1,056 years ago. He knew it before the creation of the world. I'd be standing here. He's an amazing God. He knew what clothes I'd be wearing in front of you this morning. He knows everything. But he knows I didn't start out like that. He knows I started out as a little pipsqueak kid up in the Adelaide Hills who went on to become a bank officer, went on to become self-employed for a season, came back to Adelaide from living in the country to be working for a big appliance sales and service business in Adelaide, servicing appliances and fixing up people's broken washing machines and bailing out pooey nappies and, oh, it's a fun job. I had no idea doing that. You know, people put things in microwaves that blow up, things that shouldn't be put in microwaves. And they ring up and say, my microwave's not working and you're the poor person who's to go there. And we had a code. I can't remember what it was, but there was a code, a pickup code for some microwaves, which meant technician is not game to open the door. And the microwave would be collected by the truck driver and taken to the rubbish dump because something in there was just not fit for human consumption ever again. People used to leave washing machines broken down. And no kidding, back in those days, people used to wash nappies, not disposables. And you go in there and there's been a washing machine that's been dead for a week with dead nappies in it. When I was cleaning out that stuff, I couldn't for one moment see this moment. I couldn't for one moment guess I'd be flying from Adelaide to Perth this weekend of September to speak to you about the love of God. But God did. So you can be stuck in a moment. Maybe you're in the moments of cleaning out someone else's crap out of their washing machine and wondering, is this ever going to end? What a job, I got to tell you. I didn't get paid enough for that. You needed danger money. But God's got you in his hand, and you're wondering. It's all part of the journey. See, it was my journey from a little boy through to this moment in time, and hopefully beyond into the years to come, still advancing the kingdom. There are going to be moments when I'm doing things that I think have got nothing to do with this, but everything has. Your life today might appear to you to be insignificant or stuck in a rotten spot or whatever. I want to tell you, just trust God. Trust God. He sees you at the finish, providing you started out wanting to find him. He will keep directing your path. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is a favorite verse in our family. We've imparted this to our kids. It was imparted to me by my parents and grandparents. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. What an awesome, awesome promise from God. Straight path doesn't necessarily mean no bumps. Just means you're heading towards the destination. Up over this, down over this, stepping into knocking your knees on this. Doesn't mean trouble free. It just means that you're not going to get knocked off course. You're going to keep going on the journey. Here I am up on the stage. Here I am going down off the stage. My path is straight. Here's an obstacle. Here we go. I'm still straight. That wasn't straight path, so that was a bend. No, I'm still on my journey. We can get caught up in the kind of wanting it to sound like no problems. No, the Christian life is full of problems. Anyone notice that? Anybody sick here this morning? Yes, Jared's got the lurgy. Don't share a coffee with him. Okay. Like, I thought Christians were supposed to be, by his stripes we've been healed. What happened? How can we get sick? I got a question for God about that one day, but it never stops me from believing we can pray. Why don't you stand up, Jared, for a moment? Let's give this bug the flick. Why don't you just stand up here? Right now. Julie, come. What an awesome testimony about God's provision in your life before, man. I'm so proud of you. Just in front of the church on the video, just saying, this is what I did, this is what God did. Isn't he awesome? Yeah. How good is that? So let's just pray and believe God's going to get this bug off your system sooner rather than later. Yeah. Father, today we just thank you for your incredible healing power. Yeah. We just rebuke and break the power of this virus, Lord, in his life right now. Thank you, Father, that he will walk out of this building today with healing in his wings. Yeah. Lord, that he will find the healing anointing settling on him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and everywhere in between. And every last skerrick of this disease would leave him. All the symptoms would go. Lord, his temperature would be restored to normal. And Lord, he'd get back into the week next week just on full strength in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Good on you, man. Champion. Okay, so we just prayed for Jared. Maybe, just maybe, a little seed of faith. Our faith, his faith, God's unbelievable ability to take the smallest seed and grow it into the biggest tree. Like, sometimes we want it to all be delivered right there and then, and sometimes it is. But God works through small things. So today, can I ask you this question to finish up? Is it time for you to have the courage to stand up in a moment? I'm going to ask you to do that. But maybe you've been wondering about starting a business. Maybe you've had an idea rattling around your think, and you've been trying to get into your head or get past the stumbling block, but I need this to happen before that can happen. And sometimes there are steps that need to be taken, but sometimes we just need to have the courage to start. Maybe you've been wondering about this whole deal of discipleship making. Isn't that the evangelist's job? Isn't it the preacher's job to preach and people get saved because they hear the word of God? And that's absolutely, the mechanics is true. That's absolutely true. But every one of us in this room who's called on the name of the Lord and is saved has been given this charge by Jesus himself in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. It's not go and build churches. It's not go and start this, that, or the other. We can do all those things, but our first port of call is to go and make disciples. It's like, whoa, that's a bit scary. I just thought I was signing up to be saved and go to heaven. I just want eternal life. I didn't sign up for this work bit. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that if you've thought that being a Christian's about going to heaven and having eternal life, full stop, you're only getting half the deal, if that. It's actually about getting that incredible gift of eternity from our Father in heaven. But that completely releases us to be the sort of person who does cross the chicken line and can just say to a friend at work, even if you don't pray with them, because that's a little bit kind of weird at the work context, you can say to them, I will be praying for you. I'll be praying for your wife or your husband. I will pray for your son or your daughter or your friend. Can I ask you next time, like tomorrow, I'm going to ask you how it's going. Is that okay? And you just try to be as completely normal. And I think it was, who visited our church in the beginning of the year? Jamie Malcolm came and launched Alpha for us at the beginning of this year. And he made a statement along these lines that we're called to be totally normal, but totally supernatural. We've got the power of God on us, right? Who believes that? Give me a wave if you believe the power of God's at work in your life. Okay, if you don't believe that, we're going to change your moment, change your mind in a moment. Why don't we all stand to our feet? What an amazing bunch of smiling faces. I look around here and even I, just me, Bruce Williams from Adelaide, can look into some of your eyes, if you engage with my eyes, and that's sometimes a little bit scary, but I can see potential. I can see possibilities and a future and change and the big things of God. And I'm just me, little old Bruce. How much more is it possible that your Father in heaven, the God of the universe, can look in to the very depths of who you are, big smile on his face, because he sees the end and the beginning. And you all might be thinking, I'm not even sure I know how to start. And God's saying, make a start, because he can see what's right down here. You standing in heaven one day. This is my dream. I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is my dream, so I think his dream's bigger. Looking around in heaven, and there's all these people standing around who are in heaven because I started. It's not because I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, believe me. We haven't got the biggest church in the world by a country mile. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, as the saying goes. I'm just me understanding that God started something in me and he's called me to keep walking till I finish. And I reckon if we all do that, I think we're all going to have the pleasure of looking around in heaven. Where did all these people come from? I didn't pray for Greg, but I had a coffee with him one day. I didn't ring Nigel up every week, speak to him about this, that, and the other. But we talked every 12 months or occasional email and just encourage each other as pastors, and we both finished the course. We both finished strong. I'm not talking about over-investing in people and getting tied up in their world. You might have to do that with some people, but there's going to be people that all God wants you to do is just put a little seed of love in, put a little seed of compassion, a little seed of encouragement. You know what? It's going to work out, buddy. You might just have to go to someone and say, look, Don't know what's going on in your life at the moment, man, but I just believe it's going to work out. That season is going to come to an end. It's like, I might have no idea what that is. In fact, got no idea. That might be exactly what you've come to church this morning to hear. I've got no idea, but I've had the courage to say it. And that might have felt like practicing, but I'm telling you, that's a word for you from God. Does it make sense? Awesome, man. It's like, wow. I love that about church. You know, you can have a Holy Ghost practice night. Having a Holy Ghost, we're practicing to pray in the Spirit at church, and you are practicing, but God's not. He lets us stuff around with wrong words and saying too much or too little and wondering. Over here, this lady, you've caught my attention. What's your name?
I've been to Adelaide 3 years.
You've been to Adelaide for 3 years. So what are you doing over here? You just stayed in Adelaide.
I don't know why.
You don't know why? And this is your home church?
Yeah, I love here now.
You love here now?
Yeah.
Oh, you traitor.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Katie.
Some of my family there.
Some of your family there?
Yeah.
Wow. So
my
what?
Son there and
your son?
Yeah, his father.
I love your smile.
Oh, thank you.
Do you like encouraging people?
Always.
Yeah.
And then when he was talking about God things, he's reminded me and that cry in my heart, like, because 1 year ago, I was wanting to kill myself for no reason.
Wow.
I don't know why. And
that's gone,
yeah? Yeah, I trust God, and I didn't do it, but I still feel pain, what I done to myself. And God say, I'm supposed to be here and to look after my kids.
That's a good reason to stick around, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you that God's got his eye on you. And God's got some really awesome things that you're going to do. Not only in church here, but in the community around where you live. And Father, I pray right now you just lift the burden off her shoulders of that whole episode, Lord. She just find freedom washing over her. There's one thing I know that God's given me and Julie that to do with praying with people, and that is to pray for the peace of God to come on them. And so I just pray right now his peace would flood into every part of your world, and you would be so at peace on the inside, totally, like, just still, no storms, no tempest, no mixed thoughts, no negative thoughts, just absolute peace in your soul today. In Jesus' name. Amen. That feels good, right?
Yeah?
Thank you, Lord. Man, you're a beautiful woman. Very beautiful woman, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Man, we could get into something big, like, but I've got to. I just wanted to show you how easy it is to start. I had no idea what to say to Katie when I walked up to her. None whatsoever. But she caught my attention. There are people that God's just got in your world that he's trying to get you to take notice of. Go there. Just start talking. The gift of the prophetic, the release of the Spirit is not, I've got a word for you before you get there. It's walked up with someone like Charlie and just beginning to talk to him. And God begins to open my mouth to say things to him. But if I don't walk up to him and I don't start talking about Frio and the big victory at the football, or how wonderful the Adelaide Crows are, just had a bad year, I don't know, just start a conversation. I don't get the opportunity for that flow. So let me just close with prayer. Father, today we thank you for every fabulous person assembled in this church today. Help us, Lord, to see each other. Help us to see opportunities to share our faith. Not Bible bashing people, but to share who Jesus is, the Son of God, the God the Bible describes who is love. And so we're going to love people. We're going to be compassionate. We're going to care. And we're going to spread the good news. And we're going to see this house flourish as we make disciples. in the days ahead. So bless every leader, bless every musician, bless the senior pastors, Lord. Give them courage and strength today. Lord, cause the vision to just keep enlarging in front of Nigel and Andrea. Lord, bring good health on them. Father, we pray for incredible health, not just body, guys. I want to pray for you, body, soul, and spirit. Your minds would be at peace. Your sense of goodness would be completely reestablished and strengthened in the Lord. Father, we thank you for Nigel and Andrea and their kids, Lord, today. And we do pray that you would guide and direct them in everything, Lord, as the future of C3 Fremantle blasts off into the purposes of God. In Jesus' name.